Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. Dustin, it was absolutely positively another great weekend of college football, wasn't it?
It was. I'm trying to remember if there's been a bad weekend of college football, Jim. I don't think there has.
There is no such thing, Dustin, as a bad college football weekend. It is the best sport out there, and I love a lot of sports. College football is the absolute best. My team, Penn State, did not play this weekend, but I loved it. I loved watching the other games, some of the other teams. Some of them were fantastic. I mean, I was just glued to Georgia-Texas at night. What a great game.
Yeah, that was that had some fireworks on the field and then some fireworks, I mean, from the stands, too. So that had everything. It was kind of like, I don't know if that's welcome to SEC football to Texas or not. Like, or maybe that's welcome to how Texas ruins everything, Georgia. Maybe that was the...
Well, I think every team moving to the Big Ten or to the Southeast Conference has their welcome to the Big Ten or welcome to the Southeast Conference moment. You know that USC certainly has. Washington has. I'm not sure Oregon has had that yet.
No, they're the one team so far that's still held up their end of the bargain. And coming in, we talked about sound like a broken record. First two games didn't look good, but they've kind of put it on. I don't mean this in a negative way, but they put it on cruise control here. They've looked really good the last couple weeks, ever since those first two games, and then another just dominant performance, 35-0 over Purdue on Friday. And it wasn't that close. I unfortunately had to watch all 60 minutes of that game, but that game could have really been 56 or 63 nothing. They just controlled it start to finish.
You know what, Dustin? That's kind of been a constant theme throughout this season where we jump to some conclusions early. You know, we are so hungry for some data points here. Yep. And Clemson gets crushed by Georgia. That's it. Clemson is done. They've done nothing but look fantastic since. How about Notre Dame beats Texas A&M? Oh, my goodness. Who could possibly beat them? How about Northern Illinois? And here's the one that I think a lot of people have forgotten to get back into the Big Ten. USC beat LSU.
Yeah. And I know we talk about this every week, but like I had USC at number three in my power rankings at one point after that win, just because, you know, they looked fantastic. The next week they shut out, I think it was Utah State, 48-0, had a huge win. And it looked like, okay, this is a team that, offensively under Lincoln Riley, they're going to look the same. And then look like the hiring of D'Anton Lynn as their defensive coordinator was making a big difference. But this is a team that has now 3-4, 1-4 in the Big Ten, and all of their losses by one score. Yeah. I mean, just talk about Heartbreak City.
Spoiler alert, and we're going to get to the power rankings a little bit later in the show. USC is no longer in the top five in the Big Ten power rankings.
Nope, they are that not.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder there with that, Dustin.
No, you're good. You're good. They've dropped significantly, Jim.
All right. Well, let's take a look at what did happen on the field this past weekend. And let me start with Dustin. Have I not been telling you since before the season had even started that this Indiana team is actually very good? Haven't I been telling you that from the beginning, and you've been the naysayer?
I think since they hired Kurt Cignetti. I think since the ink dried on his contract, you've been high on IU and talking about how they could be a playoff team.
You're a good sport, but you've been the one, you've been telling me about Indiana from the start.
I was at that game on Saturday, and that was a whooping they put on Nebraska. And I think Nebraska is still a pretty solid defensive team. I think they've got some struggles offensively, but you wouldn't have known it by that game. I mean, Indiana still is the, I think they're the only team, I think this is still true, the only team in college football that has not trailed at all this season. They've either been tied or led the entire year. They've got a really good running back in Justice Ellison. Curtis Rourke, their quarterback, is I don't know that he's a Heisman player, but he's playing at that kind of caliber. And then you got some really good receivers, especially in Elijah Surratt. I think he's the one. Now, I'm going to mix this up, Jim, but I think he calls himself Waffle House because he's open 24/7. I think I've got that right.
I love that. Fantastic.
They've been a surprise. But here's the one thing. They could, I know we'll probably talk about schedules later, they could go through their schedule, be 11-1, going through the Big Ten schedule, and not beat a ranked team.
Ooh, that's, and we will talk about this a little bit later, how the end results will go. But I think for the first time, full disclosure, Dustin being a good sport, I've been naysaying Indiana from the start. Even going into this Nebraska game, for those who don't know, Indiana won 56-7. I thought Nebraska would win. I thought it would be the rude awakening for Indiana. Obviously, it was not. But, Dustin, you bring up the point, and I didn't realize that they wouldn't be a ranked team. Is the issue with that is you don't play very many with 18 teams in the conference. You only play half the teams in your conference.
Right.
Same thing in the Southeast Conference with 16 teams and only playing 8. And you're going to have some teams just by the luck of the draw not playing any of the better teams. So if Indiana, as you said, 11-1, I assume you have them losing to Ohio State, they can win the rest of their games. And they don't have Oregon on their schedule. They don't have Penn State on their schedule. I guess they don't have Illinois on their schedule either.
No, they don't. They don't have Illinois on there either. They've got this is the remaining schedule: Washington, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Purdue. I mean, that is favorable. That is very favorable. And they've got College Game Day coming to town this week. I feel like I say this every week, so I'm going to say it again, but I need to just stop. Like, this is going to be interesting because I've been high on Washington's defense. They get 2 weeks to prepare, but again, coming into play here is Washington having to travel cross-country to play Indiana, unless you're Oregon going cross-country, or Penn State, excuse me, please forgive me, I need to give Penn State props. Teams that are making cross-country trips, unless you're Oregon or Penn State, like, hasn't gone particularly well, and we just saw a few weeks ago a Washington defense that I thought was pretty good kind of held Iowa in check, and then the fourth quarter happened, they got beat 40-16. Like, this is before the Iowa game, I looked at that Washington-Indiana game and thought that could be a really good battle of the bests there, that IU offense against that Washington defense. But now, I don't know if Washington's going to have an answer. I hate to say it like this, but the one positive I think you look at if you're a Washington player is that Curtis Rourke is injured. He's not going to play on Saturday. So that they're going to have to play Taven Jackson. That's going to be a huge, in my opinion, huge disadvantage for the Hoosiers. So there are some, it's an interesting storyline, but yeah, I think Indiana's not going to complain because they were stuck in the Big Ten East where they were always guaranteed almost 3 losses every year, right? But at the same time, we talked about the scheduling inequities between the Big Ten West and the Big Ten East for so many years. You're still going to have that issue when you have this many teams in one conference.
You are. And, you know, they try to create the matchup. So Ohio State, you know, far be it from me to defend anything having to do with the Buckeyes, but they play Penn State, they play Michigan, they play Oregon. So if they get through this with one loss or undefeated or whatever, and by the way, they play Indiana also.
Yeah.
So they will have earned it. But their games with, say, Michigan and Penn State and Oregon is the schedule makers trying to give those big games. So you don't have Indiana. No one says, oh, give me more Indiana versus Ohio State, you know? So it, the same thing happened with Rutgers. They just aren't taking advantage of it. So it's, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, how this can play out. Let's look at a couple more of these significant games. Illinois 21, Michigan 7. I think, Dustin, from the very start, you said this Michigan team was going to be hurting. They're at 4-3 overall and couldn't hit even 10 points against Illinois.
Yeah, I did say I thought this was about a 500 football team. And I think you're starting to see why. Like, they've now, the positive you want to take away if you're a Michigan fan is you were able to pass the ball with Jack Tuttle at quarterback, but they could not do anything else. Like, they could not do anything. Three turnovers in that game. Illinois' defense, which has been, I was low on the Illinois defense because I thought they lost a lot, and I did not think they were going to be able to depend on that unit for success. But when it came down to it, Luke Altmyer didn't play a great game. They were without, I believe, and they were out without Caden Fagan again, their top running back. So you're talking about having a poor offensive performance without one of your best offensive players, and they've still won each of the last two games. Now, one of those was to Purdue, so, but they beat Michigan this week. And, Jim, this is the beauty of it. You talked about so many significant games, so many meaningful games. We get an Illinois-Oregon game that...
That's huge.
It's a massive game, and I don't think if Illinois loses that at 10-2, I don't know that there's enough meat on their schedule with Kansas falling off, Michigan playing poorly. I don't know that there's enough meat on their schedule to get to the college football playoff. But if Illinois somehow pulls off an upset, the Fighting Illini do have a chance to potentially be in the playoff picture.
I know. And that, and then the rest of their schedule, all of a sudden, Minnesota, Michigan State, Rutgers, Northwestern, looks very, very manageable. So they're playing for the playoffs in that game. Which, you know, you and I were talking about this before we started recording, that you used the expression that it seems like there's more and there's less pressure. And I think it's partially because in that kind of game, all of a sudden, Illinois, it means something to them, not just Oregon. It's not one-sided.
Right. And to me, there's almost more pressure on Illinois because if they lose, they might be out of the playoff picture. If Oregon loses, they still have that win against Ohio State. They still have some meaningful games left on that schedule. So this is why it's so like one loss. It's so nice to like one loss does not kill you. Does it leave it up to the committee? Probably. But at the same time, you have so many opportunities on the schedule.
Very good, Dustin. That's going to be it for quarter number one. We're going to hit Dustin's power rankings when we come back. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin Schutte, Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer. I'm Jim Galante. I'm a nobody. This is quarter number two of our show. You know, Dustin, talking the Big Ten this year, and I know it's the same way in the Southeast Conference, but there's just so much going on and so many teams in the middle of things. We spent a good deal of time talking about Indiana, Illinois, and how big that Illinois game this weekend is at Oregon. But I want to hit just real quickly a couple more games that some teams stumble. USC and Iowa each stumbling. USC, again, with the lead late. Once more, Lincoln Riley could say, we were one play away. Can you either go for it on 4th-and-1 or, you know, kick the field goal without it getting blocked? Come on, USC. Again, cross country. That when they travel, they're not a good team, are they?
No. Turns out they're not. But here's the crazy thing, Jim. This reminds me of the 2021 Nebraska team that lost all of their games. Like, they were 3-9. They lost 8 of those games by one score and all games by 9 points or less. Like, this USC is not a bad football team. Like, you still have to go in and compete to win. They just can't make plays late, which is ironic because how did they beat LSU? They put together a game-winning drive in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Well, it makes me wonder, Dustin, and I don't know if you have the answer to this. Is this just the out of 100-some teams, there's going to be some team just by the luck of the draw who's going to lose a lot of close games? Or is this something you could point at, character of the team, coaching?
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to answer. I don't know, but something typically when something like this happens, I really think it was a situation where if they win that Michigan game, I'm not going to sit here and say USC 7-0 because I don't think that's the case. But are they 6-1 with their only loss being to Penn State? And we're looking at this team very differently. I just think when you lose those close games, sometimes the team can tend to pull away from one another. And that may be what's happening. Like, there's just such a mental hurdle in close games. And that's what it seems like to me. And I'm guessing it starts with the coaching staff playing, instead of playing winning football, you're playing not to lose. Because I think Lincoln Riley, whether it's fair or not, is starting to feel the pressure. Like, he was running the Big 12, and he had one – I mean, he's only been there – this is only his third season, but he had a really solid first season at USC last year with a Heisman Trophy quarterback, way short of expectations. And now this year, all of a sudden, you lose to Michigan, and now you're probably thinking, well, we got to beat Minnesota. We got to beat Maryland. You know, it doesn't matter how it looks. We just got to get those wins. And what's funny, Jim, is I don't want to poke the bear here, but what was funny was I saw somebody on social media like, USC destroyed the Pac-12 so they could lose to Minnesota and Maryland in the Big Ten. Like, I don't think this is a bad football team, but if you're going to keep that job at USC, you've got to win those kind of games, and they're just not right now.
And, you know, I think part of this, Dustin, is you have to learn, as a team, learn how to win. I think sometimes there's carryover year to year that there are just teams who know how to win. New England Patriots with Tom Brady, they knew how to win. The right. Kansas City Chiefs know how to win. Many years ago, my softball team, we entered a league, Dustin. We were barely .500. The exact same team the following year, we won the league. And I swear it's because we just learned how to win. We were no better. We just learned how to win, okay? So that is my first softball reference on this show in 8 years. But I do think there's something to it. And once you lose, there becomes the, uh-oh, here we go again. Yeah. And USC, just to keep that theme going, that they're not playing to win but not to lose, when they had the ball fourth down, a yard to go, and they chose to kick the field goal, I understand the logic to it. I really do. You're now up 2 scores, but does not a more confident team with a winning mindset saying, hey, it's 1 yard. We're going to get 1 yard. And right. That's the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would that, and that again, that's playing to win and not to lose, in my opinion. Because USC with Lincoln Riley is supposed to have one of the best offensive teams in the country. And for the first, I don't know, they lost that Michigan game early, but they looked good against Wisconsin, 38-21. They kind of were stumbled out of the gate, but they got it going. But then the last couple games, it just hasn't looked quite that good. So I don't know. I think you're right. I think it's a mental thing. And here's the other thing, Jim, I'm going to point to. After, I cannot remember for the life of me, so I apologize for my ignorance here, but they had 2 players opt out, take their red shirt after the 4th game. I can't remember if that was after they lost to Minnesota or just after the Wisconsin game. But when you have players who are doing that point in the season when you've only lost 1 or 2 games, like how much of there was there a buy-in in the first place? How many people just thought I was going to get a big payday from USC through this NIL and we're not going to be in the playoff or we're not going to be competing for a championship, then I'm out. Like that's, to me, that's a level of buy-in. And I don't want to speak for anybody. I don't know the situation, but from a distance, from the Goodyear blimp view, it's not a good look for the players or the program.
No, it's not. It's a, it comes off as a me first, and as opposed to for the team kind of deal. And I, you know, I'm just using an example I'm more familiar with. When Drew Aller came on as a true freshman, Christian Vaillu was the backup quarterback, and he was next in line. We all assumed he would be the backup quarterback. Well, Drew Aller, as a true freshman, beat him out, and all of a sudden, he's number three. He waited the whole year till after the season to enter the portal, and that's an example of a guy who could have just said, wait a minute, screw this, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. It is a bad look, and USC having that, it doesn't look good for Lincoln Riley. There's a couple other games of teams that have to be called disappointing. You and I talked about it. I was the one very early. I was an advocate for Rutgers. I thought they had the schedule. I thought they had Greg Schiano, the right guy for that team and the style of all of a sudden, what, they've lost three in a row. And at home, lost to UCLA, considered one of the absolute worst teams in the conference. Talk about a bad look, Dustin.
Yeah, really bad. Yeah, I was with you. But it's kind of like one of those things. I feel like there's always a team that you want to be a dark horse or a Cinderella, and they just don't live up to expectations. Here's what I'm curious about, Jim. I'm wondering how well Greg Schiano is changing with the times. And I don't mean that from like an NIL or a player relationship standpoint. I mean it more from like a practice standpoint, because when they entered the season and through training camp, they were banged up. And I don't know that you can, with a 12-game schedule and then a 13th game for the championship and then 9 Big Ten games and a potential spot in the playoff and all that, I don't know that you can practice the same way you could 20 years ago. And I think that's how Greg Schiano prepares his team, because he wants them to be tough. And that's, like you've always said, they'll drag you into a phone booth. They'll get you into a rock fight. That's what they want to do. But at some point, you got to have players that are able to get on the field. They've been
healthy enough to throw the rock.
Exactly. They can't be out there like Charlie Brown. that's the bigger issue. I still think this team is talented enough to win 8 or 9 games. Not this season now. That's kind of out the window. But I think in terms of a talent perspective, the schedule and everything else, they were good enough to win 8 or 9 games and kind of project this program forward. But when you have those health issues, they played their first game with like 12 to 15 guys on the questionable or out list. That's not a good sign.
Well, we're going to see disappointing teams playing each other. It's going to be Rutgers is at USC. Somebody has to come away with a win there. The other team that we had looked at their schedule and said, hey, they could navigate this pretty well, is Iowa. They lost to Michigan State, who has been what we thought would be one of the dregs of the conference. And Iowa puts up 20 points, gives up 32 points to Michigan State. And all of a sudden, you know, a team that before the season started, we said, hey, this could be a 10 or 11 win Iowa. Maybe not, Dustin.
Yeah, they're not. They just don't have the passing attack. Their running back, Caleb Johnson, is very good. This reminds me of Michigan State 2021 when they had Kenneth Walker, Kenny Skywalker, yeah, as I like to call him. I hate to say one trick pony, but that's basically what Iowa is. Like their run offense is very good. Their run blocking is very good. And their defense is just not as elite as it was the last 2 years. And when you don't make significant improvements offensively, that puts you in a position. But I do want to give a shout out to Michigan State here. And I don't know if I said this on this show or another show, that Michigan State is a team that I thought, because of the way they played, would be good enough to beat. Like, you would be surprised at a team they beat this season. And then they'd also lose to like UCLA or Purdue or something. Like they'll drop a game they're absolutely not supposed to. They'll win a game they're not supposed to. I think this was the case. And also, dare I say that maybe the Spartans are a little bit better than we thought? Because I know that they lost to Boston College. That's not a good loss. But they're 2-2 in the Big Ten, 4-3 overall. Two of those losses are to Ohio State and Oregon. They didn't play particularly well in those games, but you're talking about two of the best teams in the league, and those are your two losses in conference play. Maybe Jonathan Smith is cooking up something a little bit in East Lansing. Maybe they're a little bit better than we projected.
And maybe they are, but Iowa should not lose to them.
I don't disagree with that.
And you don't think Iowa should give up 30-some points. Real quick, just in the trying to be complete here, Wisconsin crushed Northwestern. Northwestern could only put 3 points up on the board. But had they played Purdue, that might have been good enough to win. Oregon shuts down your Boilermakers 35-0, Dustin.
Yeah, real quick, I'm sure we'll talk about this too, but be very wary if you're a Penn State fan about heading into Camp Randall Stadium, because these last three games, Jim, despite Wisconsin being dreadful through the first four games, I think they found something, and I think his name is Tywee Walker. They have outscored their opponents 117-16 in the last three games. Now, it's against Purdue, Rutgers, and Northwestern, so it's not the cream of the crop, but that's still pretty damn impressive.
Well, you know what? You're right. It's not the cream of the crop. Anyway, all right, that's it for quarter number two. I keep threatening Dustin's power rankings. We'll hit them next segment, I promise. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim. He's Dustin. We're talking all things Big Ten football. And yes, it's time. It's time for Dustin's power rankings. I feel like I need like a little thing. Dustin's power rankings. I'm going to have that ready for next week, Dustin, okay?
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
All right. We'll do that. But anyway, it's time for the power rankings. And at the very top, looks very similar to what we saw last week. It's Oregon. It's Ohio State. Second. Just correct me if I'm wrong. That's the one-loss Buckeyes second, ahead of the undefeated Nittany Lions and the undefeated Hoosiers of Indiana?
Correct, yes.
Okay, just clarifying.
Just want to make sure you get that right, yep.
Yeah, just wanted to be accurate. Don't want to report your news incorrectly there. And then Illinois number five. How many playoff teams are there there, Dustin?
I think there's four.
Ooh.
I think there's four, and I don't know. This is where it's tough. I think Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State are, I don't want to say locks, because anything can happen. We've already seen a lot of upsets. We've already seen a lot of craziness and chaos in college football. We saw Vanderbilt beat Alabama, for God's sake, so who knows? But I think those three are as close to locks as you can get. And then I think either Illinois or Indiana could get in. Indiana has the schedule, as we talked about, 11-1, and you've been a bit big advocate of this. Even though they didn't play anybody, does the playoff committee care, or are they just looking at the total wins at the end of the season? Illinois at 10-2, it kind of depends, right? Like, they beat Kansas when they were ranked. They beat Nebraska when they were ranked. They beat a Michigan team when they were ranked. So the strength of schedule might be a little bit tougher. I don't know. I think Illinois would have to beat Oregon and get to 11-1. But let me put it this way. If you're 10-2 in the Big Ten or the SEC, you give yourself a chance. I'm not saying you won't get in, but you give yourself a chance.
I think if you're Illinois with two losses, you're going to lose that tiebreaker. We may as well nobody cares about the rest of the teams anyway. In that next in that next tier, I'll just Wisconsin shot up five places, so their number, what's that, six. Michigan State, you have them way too high. You have them jumping up eight places. Who cares? Michigan, Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota all went down a couple places, and then yada 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 the rest of the teams. All right, there's our power rankings.
Beautiful. So,
you know, trust me, nobody cares beyond that point anyway, Dustin. So let's move on. I like this conversation about what it takes to make the playoffs. Indiana, you were asking about the playoffs. I feel like they set the precedent with the four-team playoff. You're undefeated, you're in. Florida State was the exception that makes the rule. Forget about Florida State. You're undefeated, you're in. Two losses, you're out.
Mm-hmm, right.
And with one loss, you then have to go through the tiebreaker, and the Southeast Conference gets every benefit of the doubt. That's how that one loss tiebreaker works. All right?
I like that caveat you threw in there because that's correct.
Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not now, because there was a conversation. I will bring this up at some point, maybe in the break, but there was a conversation about why the discrepancy between Texas and Illinois, and it was not a comparison between the two teams. But basically, why is there such a discrepancy in the rankings when you have a two-loss Ole Miss team with their best win being against South Carolina? Like, advantage SEC.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm not going to completely dismiss that as wrong because, you know, if Ole Miss plays Illinois, who's going to be favored? You know, what's the point spread going to be? And if you had to put money on it straight up, which way would you bet? So I understand some of it, but what I think might happen, Dustin, I want to get your take on this, is it going to be, if you're Big Ten or Southeast Conference with one loss, you got to be in. You have to be in, don't you?
I think that's the way it's going to go because where else are you going to get multiple teams? Like, these are the only two conferences, in my opinion, where you're going to lock in multiple teams. From the ACC, what, maybe Clemson and Miami? You could get two in there. Who's coming in from the Big 12?
Well, here's the thing from the Big 12. Is it Iowa State and BYU are both undefeated and not going to play each other in the regular season?
Sure.
So what if you have those two teams undefeated playing in the conference championship game? And one of them had an undefeated regular season and their only losses in a conference championship game. Don't you have to take them?
You could take both of them. But I also think you're looking at, in terms of the strength. This is where it gets interesting, though, is you look at Illinois' strength. I think Illinois' strength of schedule is still better. I mean, Indiana's is not. And again, if we're talking about an 11-1 Illinois team, then you're going to have a good win against Oregon on there. So you could see that. There's so many different possibilities out there.
To me, if Illinois is 11-1 and because they beat Oregon, oh my God, they better be in. I mean, that's not even should be up for debate. They'll have beaten the number one undefeated team in the country. So they got to be in. Indiana, you know, you could look at that schedule and say they very realistically could be 11-1, in which case, and I don't know who their great win's going to be, like you pointed out. They, you know, especially if they meet Michigan, that's going to be what, Michigan's fourth loss, and Ohio State still has to play Michigan. So that could be a five-loss Michigan team that's definitely not going to be ranked. Who is your signature win if you're Indiana?
So we had this conversation actually on the way home, and it was from the Indiana-Nebraska game. And basically, it's let's pretend Indiana's 11-1. Now, would you rather be 11-1 and miss the Big Ten championship game, or would you rather be 11-1, lose the Big Ten championship game, then be 11-2. What is the benefit there in terms of the playoff? Is there, because you're, if you lose both of those, like if you win, obviously, then you're in, right? But do you save yourself a loss, basically, and say, because if, let's say they get beat by two touchdowns to Ohio State, and then you get run out of the Lucas Oil Stadium by Oregon by three or four touchdowns, as opposed to not playing Oregon and not losing that game, like what would you, but they would have no signature wins. So what's the advantage there?
If your name is Indiana, you really don't want to go to the championship game and get a second loss.
I agree.
And, you know, I've talked about this a bit. This is why those conference championship games, they're really going to hurt somebody. I think in the ACC and the Big 12, it really hurts because you could have like a one-loss team. Either conference, they get a two-loss team, they're going to lose that tiebreaker. But now going back to the Big 10, how's this for projecting? If we believe Indiana goes 11-1, we both would believe the losses to Ohio State, correct?
Right, correct.
Penn State, same kind of boat. If they're going to go 11-1, probably that loss is to Ohio State, right? Oregon looks like they should go undefeated the rest of the year, gets them into the championship game. Indiana, Ohio State, Penn State, all with one loss, but Ohio State beat the other two. As a Penn State fan, as an Indiana fan, I say, okay, I'll take my 11-1 record right to the playoffs. You go play Oregon.
I don't disagree with that mindset at all, but here, this would be the interesting question then, and we will never know the answer to this. I think you and I know the answer to this, and I hate to be this person to say this about Penn State, but if you, we talked about Indiana not picking up that second loss because they're Indiana. If you think Ohio State or Penn State picks up that second loss, do you really think it matters?
Because of the conference, brand? I think if it's in the conference championship game, there's going to be multiple two-loss teams that make the playoffs. I was asked about this by someone, and I said the conference championship game loss counts as half a loss. Okay, it's not the same as being 10-2, having two regular season losses.
Right.
It's you have 1.5 losses. I think you win the tiebreaker over two loss teams.
Right, but I'm saying if Penn State, let's say Penn State is 11-1, lose to Oregon 11-2, yeah. You've lost to Ohio State and Oregon. Indiana sitting there at 11-1 didn't have to play in the championship game. I think it would go to Penn State because I do think that the jersey matters.
If it does, I would scream holy hell if I were an Indiana fan.
I don't disagree.
I personally feel like the loss still has to count for something, okay?
Sure.
You're 0-1 in that playoff game. Indiana is 0-0. So I think Indiana would deserve to win that tiebreaker. But I think it's like you said, that's where the jersey counts for something. It's just like, you know, in the bowl game pecking order, Penn State does better than Indiana. But, you know, probably Alabama would do better than Penn State. It's that name value. And so would Ohio State. But the committees, they're going to have to make some of those calls, Dustin, that aren't easy.
I know. And if I'm Penn State, I'm saying, look, we beat West Virginia in the season opener, which is not they're not a good team, but they're a Power Four team. We beat a ranked Illinois team. We beat USC on the road, which, again, not a good team, but we had to go on the road. We beat Wisconsin on the road. They would have to beat a Minnesota team on the road. Like, the schedule is significantly more difficult for Penn State, in my opinion.
And I've heard some people say, hey, wait a minute. Based on tiebreakers, Penn State finished second in the, you know, conference. Indiana finished third. Doesn't matter what happens in the conference championship game. Penn State finished higher than Indiana, or vice versa.
Right.
And that should be the way you treat it. I'm just not sure, but I'll tell you, you and I talked in the break about this. You brought it up, and we'll want to talk about it when we come back. You mentioned something that if Indiana were to beat Ohio State and Penn State would do the same, First of all, it would be crazy. That means Ohio State has three losses. But you could still have Oregon, Indiana, and Penn State all finish the season undefeated because they don't play each other. Dustin, we're going to talk about that. And what in the world would they do then when we come back? So stay tuned.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Dustin Schutte, Big Ten writer for Sports Illustrated. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about the Big Ten and so many permutations, so many things that could go on here. And Dustin, when we left, I stole your thunder. You brought up the point, and it's a great one. I don't see this happening, but you still have a situation where in the Big Ten, Oregon, Indiana, and Penn State could all go undefeated, and they somehow have to figure out that tiebreaker.
I know. I think we talked about this maybe years ago. I don't remember, but I distinctly remember having this conversation with you about what are they going to do? And if they have three undefeated teams, and I'm all about chaos, and I wanted the Big Ten to have absolutely no plan in place. But they basically have no plan in place, because what is going to happen is essentially at that point, maybe it's points for, points against. It's going to come down to a coin flip, like a literal heads and tails coin flip. That is one of the tiebreakers.
Isn't there something with the one loss record of the teams you've played in the conference?
It's something about the similar opponents, and there's so many different avenues that they have to go down. But at that point, I mean, obviously you're just splitting hairs. But again, I mean, you want to play for a conference championship, but also in an era where you have to play in the college football playoff, and you're going to play three or four games.
Get a bye or not.
Wouldn't you be okay with saying, you know what, we'll take a week off?
Yes, and this is not to disparage Indiana. And if that situation were to come up, it means they had beaten Ohio State. So, right. You know, there's a confidence level there. But, you know, my feeling, you know, does Indiana really think they would go back in, you know, and beat Oregon or beat Penn State? I know that's not fair of me to say it that way, because again, you know, if they beat Ohio State, they'll have proven themselves. I think the more likely scenario is, could you imagine, how about this? You brought it up with three undefeated teams. How about this? If Ohio State beats Indiana and beats Penn State, you have Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana with one loss, right? And Oregon undefeated. What if Illinois beat Oregon?
And then you would have like 5 one-loss teams potentially. Yeah. Could you imagine the chaos that would ensue there?
And really, you know, I think close followers of the conference would project Ohio State to beat Indiana and beat Penn State, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that's not a stretch at all, at all. What it means is we are just an Illinois upsetting Oregon away from 5 one-loss teams in the conference, Dustin.
And talk about chaos. I love it. Bring it on. But I mean, that's just like, this is what we talked about. We wanted more meaningful football, and we're getting it, especially in these conferences. Now you're going to have, there could potentially be 5 one-loss teams competing for a Big Ten championship game spot and a bid in the college football playoff entering November. Has there ever been more than like two teams? I mean, there's been Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State's in the mix, and it kind of depended on when on the schedule Penn State would play those teams. But I can't remember another season where you'd have this many teams in contention. So all you naysayers about the 12-team playoff, go fly a kite.
Take that. Well, what we did have in the Big Ten is, you know, those three teams in the Big Ten East, and then we had five teams in the Big Ten West, each with three losses vying for the championship to win the division, Dustin.
As someone who covers Purdue, I don't see a problem with that.
Well, just as a quick aside, because we're talking about the Big Ten, but I took a look at the Southeast Conference. Now, I did this before the season started, where I projected the games based on the rankings, and it came out a mess. I had like seven teams with one or two losses. Well, here we are at the halfway point of the season. I did something similar, and I projected it out. I ended up with four teams in the Southeast Conference finishing with one loss, okay? So it's very similar to this chaos we're hoping for in the Big Ten. All right. We're spending a lot of time on that. How about we look ahead a little bit at this weekend's games? A couple interesting ones. Let's hit on them. And let's start with that one we mentioned a little bit, which was Illinois at Oregon. Illinois, with the ability here to create all kinds of chaos, the people in Vegas who know better than us say that Oregon is a 25-point favorite in that one.
Yeah, this is giving me the Penn State-Illinois vibes, where I think Penn State was a 3-touchdown favorite, or maybe it was maybe it was like 18, something along those lines. I just don't see it. I think Oregon is a very good football team. I think they will win because I think they have more talent. And the fact that they get that game at home, I think, is a big benefit. But Illinois is scrappy, and they have gotten big wins this season. It seems like every time we doubt them, they show up. If they get beat by three scores, that would be them not showing up. And they haven't shown us, even in their loss to Penn State, that was a hard fought game. Penn State was fortunate to come out of that with a win, even as ugly as it was. So I think Illinois is capable. You talk about Rutgers liking rock fights. I think Illinois would be okay with this being a rock fight. And I think the one negative is I think Illinois maybe would have liked to get this game after Oregon beat Ohio State.
Get a hangover.
They would have a much better chance at pulling off the upset in that trap game situation. But if you're asking me to pick a winner, I'm picking Oregon. If you're asking me who I like against the spread, I would take Illinois, though, because I think this is going to be a good football game.
I think I would, too. Now, using the comparable, Illinois at Penn State won by 14 points, really should have won by a lot more, missed field goals and stuff like that. But to the point, I'm not sure. You know, Oregon could win this by 3 touchdowns, look very comfortable with a 31-10 win, and you still have the spread covered by Illinois. It's interesting and intriguing to me, Washington at Indiana. Indiana, a 6.5-point favorite. Before the season started, if we ever heard that, we would have thought, no, it should have been the other way. I'm not sure if I'm looking at that. I'm not sure if I want to say that's too many points or not enough points, Dustin. I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think that the Curtis Rourke injury is playing into that quite a bit, because I think, if I remember correctly, it opened at 10.5, and then the announcement came, and then it dropped significantly in Washington's favor. I still think Indiana's offense is really good. I still think they have really good playmakers. I expect them to win. Will it look like it did last week against Nebraska? I doubt it. But again, this is a Washington team that has a sneaky good defense. They gave up 40 points to Iowa, but they've got to do something offensively, because they can move it between the 20s, and then for whatever reason in the red zone is a brick wall. So, and they're going to have to score points against Indiana if they want to make that a game.
Nebraska is at Ohio State, and boy, this is tough scheduling for Nebraska after getting their butt handed to them last week by Indiana. You go into Ohio State where you're a 25.5-point underdog, Dustin.
Yeah, I think you're just, if you're Matt Rhule, you're hoping this game looks more competitive, because last week against IU, they were not. You want to see better performance from your defense. You need to mix something up on your offense, get creative, try to catch Ohio State off guard. I mean, I don't think anybody expects Nebraska to win this game, but you need to see some level of competitive fight, because they just didn't have it last weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't know. I kind of feel like Nebraska will come in ready to play. Matt Rhule will have them ready. Yeah. No way do I think they'll win, but I hope they'll at least be competitive. We talked about a couple teams being disappointed in Rutgers and USC. They get to play each other. Because it's at home for USC, they're a two-touchdown favorite.
And they get to play this. You might have to wake up early because it's on Friday, because it's an 11 p.m. Eastern time kickoff. How fun for everybody involved on Friday night.
Is it really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 11 p.m. on Fox. So this is true college football sickos situation going on here. So I've seen nothing from Rutgers that would suggest that they would win this game. But also USC has found a way to lose close games all year long. So I don't know. I think home field and the fact it's on a Friday and it's so late, I think advantage USC. So I don't know if I'd give them two touchdowns, but I think they're going to win the game.
All right. Penn State is at Wisconsin, the game that our listeners are mostly interested in. I think the fact that it's on the road, we've talked about this a lot, how tough it is in the Big Ten to win on the road. Night game, I think, you know, the Madison crowd will be into it. Wisconsin has played well, you know, paper-thin competition. It just hasn't been good these last three games. They seem to have settled in now with the backup quarterback. I saw this with an early spread of like 10.5 points. A more recent, some of them came out like at 6.5 points. I've seen somewhere where they just split the difference and made it 8.5. So it's kind of all over the place. I'm not sure where it'll finish up. What do you think of this game?
This is going to be interesting because I think Penn State is catching Wisconsin at the wrong time. And that doesn't mean that they're going to lose, but it does mean that I think Wisconsin, if you would have played them in week three, Penn State wins this game by 3 touchdowns. But now that you're playing them now, they've had a few weeks with Braden Locke under center. Tawi Walker is playing really well. He's had over 100 rushing yards in each of the last two games. Their defense, again, they're not playing good competition, but to give up 16 points in three games is pretty impressive, especially when you're outscored, when your offense is scoring 117. So to me, this is if Penn State's run defense can shut down Tawi Walker, then I think I always want to say it's not going to be like an easy win for Penn State, but it'll be another one of those like Illinois games where you feel pretty comfortable about Penn State, but you're still not like, you're still worried a little bit throughout the course of the game, like one big mistake. So I think if you're Penn State, you limit the turnovers, run the football, you know, have Drew Aller take the chances down the field, pick your spots, and I think they'll be just fine. But this is a feisty Wisconsin team, like you mentioned, Jim. They've hit their groove at the right time, so it's going to be a much better matchup than it would have been a couple weeks ago.
And I think for Wisconsin, this is a game that could make their season. They still have Iowa and Oregon coming up. But for them, hey, this could say, you know what? They're actually still in Big Ten contention. I believe they only have one conference loss. So for them, I think it'll be a huge game. Make it a night game in Madison. The crowd will be very much into it. Penn State has a tendency to start slow, too, which won't help. All right, Dustin, that's it. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.